Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
When you are at home and your spouse is talking, do you really pay attention? They say 7 in 10 adults think their partner ignores them on purpose.
I don't ignore on purpose. I just get bored sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Depends on what they're talking about. Like if they're telling me, let's say my wife's telling me about her friends got together and they had found a great deal at TJ Maxx. And I'm like,
kind of deal.
I don't care.
I'm interested.
So I kind of try to just pay enough attention to nod and say, at the right place. Now, if she's telling me, hey, did you know that this person is sick right now and her husband's out of town, and I'll pay attention to that. But I don't care about a sale at TJ Maxx.
Well, a new study shows 7 in 10 people think their partner has selective hearing. So that's kind of what you are doing. You are selective about your hearing, what she's saying. Men will not hear what their partner is saying 7 times per week, they say. And then women do it about 6 times per week. So the girls are doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 50% of adults polled said they were concerned their partner's selective hearing could be due to genuine hearing loss. It's not about the selective hearing. They think they're just got an issue with, you know, a health issue.
There have been times where we're out for a walk and John will say, you're on my left side. I can't hear you. Can you switch?
Wow.
Okay.
So maybe it is true. Or maybe he just is like, now I can really not hear you because you're a little farther. I don't know.
Yeah. And then sometimes they'll be passive aggressive. They'll do they'll pull the old I didn't hear you trick. Hello, are you listening to me? Like ask it like a question. Hello, is anybody there? Knock, knock, knock.
See, I think that happens every day live, not mm-hmm. just your partner.
Okay.
Because
mm-hmm.
there's half the time I don't listen to you guys in here.
I think a lot of times, though, it is.
I thought so.
I think it's mutual.
I think a lot of times, though, it's like you misjudge the person as far as them. You think they're, because it says they think they are ignoring them on purpose. Your intentions, you know, are not matching up with the intent, really, of that person. For example, we had a little tiff with it at home with my son the other night. And so I walked out of the room. He goes, you know, just give me a second, Dad. I need a second. And just leave me alone. You guys know that feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So anyway, as I walked out, I left the door open. And he goes, thank you for shutting the door as he shut the door. Yeah, so I had to walk back in.
Yeah, you did.
And I said, look, okay, would you?
He's yeah, you don't disrespect your dad.
Okay, he's a teenager now. So I could take away a phone or something, but I ain't going to spank him.
Oh, my goodness, just give me the spanking. Don't take my phone.
Exactly. You got to do something that really is going to hurt. So I go back and said, look, dude, we can't, you know, have that kind of language here. And I'm like, I didn't purposely leave the door open. He's like, I was just not thinking. I had a lot of stuff on my mind. And he goes, well, Dad, you always shut the door. And I'm like, okay.
My dad would have come back in that room and opened it and said, I dare you to shut it. I would have been like, yes, sir.
My dad would have probably taken the door off the hinges.
That's too much trouble. I didn't do that. I'd rather just take the phone
away. How do
you
do that? I don't mean.
So anyway, he thought that my intentions were I was doing it on purpose just to get on his nerves. And I think that's what's going on with this survey because people think that their spouse is ignoring them on purpose. So
I just think our attention span's a lot shorter than it used to be. I mean, look at songs, how short they are, and videos, TikTok videos are short.
But I mean, that we still need to pay attention. I'm like, that's, I mean, I can see even the younger generation.
See, I just quit listening.
Yeah. Teens.
Yeah. If you go more than 15 seconds, that should be the rule in conversation.
No.
That's got to be really good.
Honestly, I'm like, the world's changing for the worse, not the better.
I mean,
we need to, okay.
You remember that old commercial where they had to pay for time to call or whatever, and so they said, you have a collect call from Bob, we add a baby, it's a boy.
Yeah.
That's our attention span now.
Yeah. Yes. So that's they say true. It's important to get your hearing issues checked out because hearing loss can lead to isolation, depression, and has even been linked to dementia.
What has?
So, yeah.
No, for real. Attention span or hearing problems?
Hearing problems.
Hearing problems.
My mom had dementia. She definitely had hearing loss before that. Yeah. It very likely could be somewhat connected to each other.
Yeah, so you want to pay attention to that. So I've got a little PSA for you.
Okay. Suffering from hearing loss? Insurance may not pay for hearing aids. Instead, ask your doctor about nodding and smiling. Nodding and smiling is not a medication. It's a technique that makes it appear as though you heard what someone just said.
I use nodding and smiling at crowded restaurants and bars. People have no clue that I have no clue.
Adverse reactions can occur if the person you can't hear just told you they have a terminal disease or their dog died.
Nodding and smiling works best when used with short phrases like, right? Or, you could say that again, which they do, I think.
Say goodbye to the awkwardness of hearing loss and say hello to the awkwardness of bad conversations with nodding and smiling. Don't take it from us, take it from this guy.
Yeah, sure, totally.
Okay. I hope that helped you guys. Yeah. That was a PSA. Yeah. You're just nodding and smiling, Kato. You paid attention.
It was very long.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
AI has a lot of people worried that it's going to take their jobs, and there's a good chance that's true. But this isn't the first time technology has taken people's jobs from them.
Hmm.
I think AI is a bigger deal because it seems like it's going to take a lot more jobs.
Yeah.
But I have a list of some of the people who are out of work now because of technology.
Well, share.
You may not have even heard of this one, but there used to be a job called being a knocker-up.
A what?
A knocker-up.
What is that?
You would go from flat to flat or apartment to apartment or house to house, and you would have a long pole, and you would tap on the window until that person woke up because there was no such thing as an alarm clock, and people needed to get to their jobs on time, so you paid them a monthly fee to come by and knock on your window.
How did they wake up on time?
They got up very early in the morning.
But how? There was no alarm.
Or maybe they were just staying up all night. They were partying.
Hey, get up! They adjusted their schedule so that they were able to consistently provide this service to people. And since there was so many people that needed it, it added up and they made a good living.
That's thinking out of the box right there, because I never thought about that. But back in the day, you know.
Well, you never thought of it because it was never an issue in your lifetime.
But I'm just thinking, I never thought anybody would have a job like that. But I guess in the 1800s or whenever that was.
Well, they had the town criers, too, that went around yelling out the news.
Yeah. Well, they'd say, all is well, 10 o'clock, all is well. I saw that on a movie.
ice cutters was a job. Long before electric refrigerators, ice was a major industry. Ice cutters would spend winters harvesting blocks of ice from frozen lakes and rivers, and they would store it in ice houses and then deliver it throughout the year to homes, businesses, and restaurants.
Yeah, I had to educate my kids a lot because we'll watch Three Stooges, and they have that ice episode where they're carrying the ice up the steps, and it's melted to a little ice cube, but it's a big, 12-inch by 12-inch block as they start. And that's what they would do. They would go around and drive around and deliver ice to the ice boxes.
Hmm.
Okay. I had to educate you guys as well, it sounds like.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it.
They actually would make a pretty good living doing this because these people needed it. But, of course, then along came the refrigeration industry and wiped their jobs out.
Oh, I'm so glad it came along.
Pin setter used to be a job.
What's that?
That would be the guy at the bowling alley who put all the bowling pins back in place.
That would be, I would not like that job.
You'd be busy.
Yeah, you would. Were you just hanging from the bottom, from straps, and then the ball would come down and you were looking up, or were you?
I don't know, but I'd be going, miss it.
Yeah.
I'll gut it all. All right, switchboard operator. We've probably seen movies with that, but used to you would actually dial into a local office, tell them who you wanted to connect to by a number. Sometimes it was letters like BR549.
Yeah.
And then they would connect it with little wires, almost like what you plug your headphones in with, and they would connect you to the person you were trying to talk to on the phone.
That's Sarah's job on Andy Griffith Show.
Yep.
Sarah, get me a hold of whoever.
Okay. There used to be someone called the lamplighter.
Okay, what did they do?
Before electric streetlights, cities relied on gas lamps.
Yeah.
They would go around at dusk and light every one of the street lamps, and in the morning, they would go around and put them out.
I bet that was so much prettier than what we have now. Can you imagine actual flickering flames all throughout your neighborhood?
Yeah, it'd be set the tone. Or a romantic stroll.
Could also set the fire on accident.
Yeah. Chicago. Yeah, sure. So they said that there is also, I mentioned the town crier.
Okay.
And they were actually responsible for keeping, as Hawk mentioned, the time, but also updating people on official news, local events, and important updates. And guess what ruined their job?
Clocks.
Us.
CNN.
Radio.
Really?
Well, there's now they got the news on the radio instead.
Oh,
they got the time on the radio. We even helped ruin the clock people, the knocker-uppers.
Which would be great because can you imagine him being like, it's 4 a.m., nothing to report, go back to bed. You're like, really?
I don't think they did
they
it
They said
that
all
time.
Is well. That's why we know things are fine.
4 a.m., all is well. And now you're wide awake.
Yeah.
All right, there was a milkman. Before widespread refrigeration and pasteurization, they would deliver fresh milk to your house every day.
Three Stooges episode on that one, too.
I got to catch up on my Three Stooges.
I don't suggest that you do.
Don't waste your time. You waste your time flicking through reels. I'm watching a 15-minute episode of Three Stooges.
Now, what's weird about this is I don't think it ended as soon as there was refrigerators, because I can remember when I was really, really little that they brought milk to our house in the morning, and my mom would set milk bottles out.
You?
I don't know anything about Three Stooges or what was that other show you were talking about, Andy Griffith?
Let me tell you this.
Classic.
Yeah, and that comes on every day.
Yeah.
So I had a girlfriend, and her dad would go milk the cow, and he would drink that milk. That's the only milk they ever had. So I never ate cereal at their house. And I dated her for quite some time.
Fresh milk, though.
It would, and it had that like junk on the top of it. You'd have to shake it. Have you ever seen it?
Mm-mm.
No, Tori? You've never?
I mean, I'm just thinking at this point, you could have sold that for so much money because the raw milk movement is huge right now.
Yeah, but have you ever seen raw milk? It looks disgusting.
Like buttermilk?
No, it looks even worse.
Even worse?
It's nasty. You got to shake it up before I had my
shake
Captain Crunch.
All right, there used to be an elevator operator.
Okay.
They weren't automated, and the person had to know how to do everything, and you couldn't just get on one and run it. You had to have them do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started making elevators automatic, and boom, these poor guys were like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
That was my job. I was good at it. Boom, they're out of work.
Mm-hmm.
They also had leech collectors.
Ooh.
These guys would actually walk into ponds and marshes and get leeches on their legs and then bring them and take them around to doctors so that they could leech blood from people who are sick.
Oh, wow. That blood connection. That'd be kind of interesting.
And then they said the telegraph operator. I don't know how many people remember telegraph.
Well, you see it in all the Western movies.
But you had the little dot, 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 dot. Dash, dot, all, and they could tap it out, and they could transmit messages long distances.
Mm-hmm.
These people had to know how to do that fast and to do it right. And then, of course, eventually we came up with modern technology where we can call anyone from anywhere. You can be on Mount Everest and send a selfie and go, hey, look, I'm on Mount Everest right now.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, these guys were specialized, high-paid operators, and boom, they were out of business.
Well, we have that now, but back then we didn't have like a trillion satellites circling the Earth.
Yeah. Life was better.
Causing cancer, and we're going to all die from it. And it's going to crash, and it's going to come back to the ground.
Was that a Three Stooges episode?
No, that was not.
Oh.
That was, yeah.
Well, they say toll booth operators are going to have a tough time in the near future. That's going to end up completely automated. People just scan a credit card or something.
That's already happening because I was going on the Southern Connector and there was no one there. Like, it was 12 o'clock at night.
Really?
Yeah, and I had to get my credit card out and do the whole nine yards.
I keep change, but most of the time the change thing's not working.
Yeah.
I just blow through it and get the ticket later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people do that, too.
Okay, well, they said the things to watch out for next is radio.
Okay.
I'm joking, but we are definitely on the list. That, wow. With AI, thanks, everyone Tom. Is on the list.
That's one of those, but really jokes.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
All right, we're on the line with Brian right now. He called in on the second date update line. And Brian, you said that you went out with Sarah. You guys had a great date, but she is not calling back.
Yeah, dude, it's so weird to me because I thought we had, like, a real connection. And I don't know. I've tried calling. I can't get a call back. I sent text messages, no response.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't know what I did.
Well, you did something.
That is what we're here for. We're going to give her a call, and you just hang back on the line, and let's see if we can get her to tell us what happened.
All right, dude. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Hello?
Hi, is this Sarah?
Yes.
Hey, it's Hawk and Tom. We are live on the radio this morning on the Hawk and Tom Show. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
We surprised you, didn't we? Hey, we are calling. We've got a second date update feature, and a friend of ours named Brian said he went out on a date with you and that you hadn't called back, and so we told him we would try to get to the bottom of things. Do you remember, Brian?
Yes.
Okay. You guys, you went out on a date together, I take it.
Yeah, we did.
Are you going to share any information with us so we can pass it along to him?
I mean, it started out fine. Uh-huh. I thought he was a nice guy. And it just really got on my nerves. And he has this tendency to call everybody dude. Like, everybody. It was like, thanks, dude. Hey, dude. And he even called me dude. And I don't get it. Like, he's not some surfer, bro, okay? So I just could not stand that he just called everybody dude. I just found, like, it was really immature sounding.
Dude.
By the way, Brian's on the phone right now.
That was not what I expected.
No? Okay.
Really, dude?
It's just something that I've always said. Would you have preferred doodad or
doodad? Okay, so
yeah. I was hoping it was like I smelled or something.
Okay,
something he could change.
Something he can't change. I can't change a dude. I'm sorry, dude.
So you even call girls dude?
I do. It's just I don't know what it is. It's just a habit. I've always said dude. I call my parents dude.
Wow.
Okay.
Do they get mad?
No. Like, this is the first time I've ever heard anybody getting mad about it.
Okay. Well, I don't know if she got mad about it. I just think it kind of got on her nerves. But I can imagine you.
Well, she's
here.
We can ask her.
You know what's so funny is I can imagine you at dinner with your parents going, hey, dad, dude, can you pass the salt?
That part's when he calls mom, dude.
Yeah.
That's something I've never understood, Brian. I can get it if you call guys dude, but it seems weird to call a girl dude.
I mean, it's like I'm calling him bro or something.
That's weird, too.
Hey, bro.
Sarah, you haven't said much.
I mean, if I'm on a date, I just don't really want to be called dude all night. Like, it doesn't really make a girl feel good. Like, it doesn't make her feel special to be like, hey, dude, do you like your food, you know?
Especially on a first date.
Yeah. Well, I'm hearing her say like a few times.
Yeah,
because I've not been around somebody to say dude, but I have been around somebody like that always uses like the word like she has been doing. I don't know what to say.
I think you did. I think you just called her out.
Yeah, Sarah, Kato don't want to go out with you either.
I didn't say that.
I guess I say like when I'm nervous and I just got like surprise called by your radio show.
Is it too late for me to say that I say dude whenever I'm nervous? Can I do that?
So, yeah, is that, well, do you think that you could cut down on the dudes a little bit?
It will be something that's going to, I'm going to have to seriously focus on it. It's just, do second nature to me. You know, it's there.
Where did you get that from, Brian? Because dude is something I don't know where you would get that.
All right, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but it didn't start when I was like a kid. It started as I got a little older in my teen years. You guys remember the movie Dude, Where's My Car?
Okay.
Hopefully I'm not making myself worse here by saying that I like a bad movie, but you know, friends and I used to quote it, and so it was dude this and dude that, and it kind of stuck over the years.
I'm sorry, Brian. I just can't see myself with a guy who calls me dude all the time. Like, it just really wasn't a good first date for me.
Dude, I feel like you're making it a way bigger deal than it needs to be.
Well, hey, Brian, you just used dude to her. Did you not realize that?
Wow.
It's second nature.
I think you're being harsh on him, Sarah. I mean, I can understand how it might be a little annoying, but if you guys hit it off other than that, maybe you can find a way to, you know, I don't know, ignore it or joke about it or something.
And that is why you are my dude right there.
I'm not just dude. I'm his dude.
His dude.
Well, Brian, I'm sorry, dude, but...
Well, apparently you guys are not going to go out on a second date on this one.
Dude. And we were going to pay for it, dude.
Okay, well, we appreciate you actually telling us your story here on our Hawk and Tom Second Date Update, and we appreciate you being on the show this morning, okay?
Thanks,
dude.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, they tell you when you're in high school and college that you should try to find a career that you love so you'll never work another day in your life.
Yeah.
Because if you love what you're doing, then you won't be working.
Doesn't feel like work anyway.
It's not true. No matter what you end up doing, it will eventually become work to you. Yep. No matter how much you enjoy it right now, there will be a point in time where you will know that you would not do this if they weren't paying you for it.
I think about the rock stars when they're up on stage and they're singing that song for the 5,000th time. And like, you know, they got to just say, I wish I could sing something new.
Well, I've had people ask me over the years, it's got to be cool working in radio. I'm like, it's a job.
Well, you have a pretty poor attitude.
It's a job. Oh.
Towards our job.
You want me to stay in this job? Shut your mouth.
You're right. He does have a poor attitude.
Look at that. That's proof right there. This is a blessing. We work and just have a good time for 4 hours.
It is a blessing. But at the same time, like, I'd be okay not doing anything.
That's what I'm saying. As much as this job is awesome.
It is. I mean, it's fun.
It is probably one of the easiest. None of us is breaking a sweat ever. We're not out in the sun. We're not digging holes in the ground or hammering on roofs and stuff.
Yeah.
But we still find it to be work at some point.
Yeah.
But Gen Z has taken a different attitude, and it may be a smart one, because what they're looking for now are micro joys at work.
Well, okay.
Rather than trying to find a career that they enjoy, they look for small things that make it tolerable. So they're enhancing their workplace culture with micro joys. These are small moments that make the workday more enjoyable, more productive, and sustainable.
Okay, maybe a snack room break or something.
That's very much. They say little breaks, not necessarily snack room, but short breaks makes their day more enjoyable, and 3 out of 4 of them say those breaks cause them to perform better the rest of the workday.
I'm going to take a 15-minute break and go talk to everybody in the cubicles right now and pretend like I'm working.
So now they're going to take 15-minute breaks, too. I don't know about that part.
But, a conversation, though, that could be a little micro joy. Having a fun conversation with an employee.
And it's true. You do have to find the silver lining in everything in life. But I will say the problem with that is that then you're always chasing that little high. Like the espresso machine that I got.
Mm-hmm.
That was my little joy. And I was all excited. Now I'm like, I'm ready to buy something else. I'm like an addict.
Between you and Tom, if you guys don't stop, we're gonna have a full kitchen right there in your office. I mean, we got a refrigerator in there. You got a air fryer in there.
Microwave.
And then coffee pot, espresso machine.
Yeah. All we need is a dishwasher.
No, I'm not doing that. But what should we get next?
Panini press. I was just looking at them online.
Ouch. Bad right there. Oh, panini press.
Sounds painful.
I was thinking a little more indulgent, like maybe a donut maker.
No, I don't have a panini.
There's too much. Too much work in
See,
that.
See, that donut maker is much less trouble.
Well, you need to have the balance of sweet and savory. So we could do a panini press in one office and a donut maker in the other.
Now we're talking.
See?
Pretty soon.
Always chasing that
we're not going to do radio anymore. We're selling breakfast.
Yeah.
It's going to be a drive-through window.
The Hawk and Tom kitchen.
All right. Well, they said that almost 80% of these Gen Z intentionally build micro joys into their workday. Mm-hmm. It could be stepping outside for fresh air,
chatting with
a cool coworker, or enjoying a snack or beverage that they like.
I think, you know, because the smokers do get to go outside and enjoy the fresh air. I think it'd be good for the employees. Like, I want to take a 5-minute break and just walk around the, parking lot. Well, I think that's refreshing.
It turns out Gen X has micro joys, too. Here's a couple of examples. A micro joy that our generation appreciates, and maybe yours, too, because you're a millennial, Tori. Is whenever a meeting gets canceled.
Yes.
That is a micro joy.
That is.
I would almost say that is a major joy. That's like, oh gosh, did you hear they canceled the meeting? We don't have to do that.
If they're looking for jobs, you know, of that, is that part of the, you know, initial meeting that you have with the boss? Like, do you guys cancel a lot of meetings here? Because that's going to help me decide if I'm going to take this job or not.
My favorite part is the Oscar performance I give to act like I'm upset. Oh, I was so, okay, yeah, no, we'll just reschedule whenever. Whenever works for you. And I hang up and I'm like, hallelujah.
I'm always like, well, I guess I was looking forward to it. But yeah. They said also another micro joy is looking at the clock and realizing it's much later than you thought it was.
Oh, that's good.
That'll happen here. Some days everyone will be like, oh, is it 9:30 already?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, yeah, buddy, we're almost done.
And some days it's only 7:30.
Yeah. Those aren't good days.
But I will say you can't be working anywhere where you have access to a clock the entire time. I used to work a production line.
You're right.
And the days that I could not see the time clock went by so quick. But if I could see that clock every 5 minutes, it was just barely moving.
They're taking clocks out of all kinds of businesses and stuff, like grocery stores and stuff. I'm like, it's kind of like the casinos. They didn't want you to lose track of time, spend more money.
They did want you to lose track of time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, they're doing that with grocery stores now, so they want me to be in there for like an hour.
Yeah, but the truth is, I mean, you have a watch on your phone. So, I mean, you really don't even need it.
I forgot my phone in my car.
You know, Hawk, I fell for that yesterday at Harris Teeter. I was there all day. Well, I did not know what time it was.
You got a bar.
Get another mimosa. Yeah. Wow.
And Hawk, you said you left your phone in the car?
Sometimes, yeah.
How do you go to a grocery store without your phone?
I don't need it. I don't need it.
That's the whole point. I don't have a list if I don't bring my phone.
Oh, my phone died once in the grocery store, and I didn't remember what I needed.
Yeah. I do the freestyle shopping. It's like a freestyle list.
See, that's what gets me in trouble, because then I'm like, well, I bought 17 donuts and not one thing of meat or veggies.
Here's a micro joy for you, bathroom breaks. That's a micro joy.
Well, not always.
If anyone's in there, it's not.
Okay, if someone's already been in there before, you know it's not.
Or
but if it's
all.
Just you and you're taking a, you know, because no one can rush you along with that
one.
Close.
I think that would depend very much on the situation. Cato recently, if you recall, was in and out of the bathroom the whole morning here.
Okay.
And he was not enjoying it.
But most of the time, you even said, Mark Twain says that the bathroom breaks are underrated.
They can be.
I mean, it is you feel good when you, after you're done.
I just thought of another micro, what is it called?
Joy.
Joy. When you hit all the green lights going home from work.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, you just told everybody about my business.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we told you that every day when you went in the bathroom and we did our break without you, we said that's where you were.
Yeah, it wasn't a micro joy. It was a micro burst.
Oh.
It wasn't micro
it
either.
It wasn't micro.
Y'all heard?
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
We're about to celebrate National Chicken Wing Day with this next conversation. I guess tomorrow's going to be We're All Out of Napkins Day.
We had an interesting discussion here on the show, and it may be one of the dumbest things we've ever talked about, but it's huge right now. And Cato, you're the one who brought it up.
Oh, gosh, I don't even know. I've been in a daze all week.
As you guys know, we talk about food a lot here on the show.
Yes.
Not just whenever we're on the air, but when we're off the air.
It's so bad here that they talk about food so much that I even gain calories. Just by talking.
Well, Cato, you asked a question that may be one of the most difficult questions that I've ever come across in food. And apparently other people are asking it too, that their boneless chicken wings are simply chicken nuggets in sauce. Chicken nuggets for adults.
I'm so tired of this argument. Like, the boneless people, we don't know that they're basically nuggets. Let us pretend to be adults. I don't like bones.
Well, it's crazy because I never thought about it at all. And even before this article, this last weekend, I'm out with friends, and the server had asked, they're getting wings. Did they want bone in or boneless? They walked away, and I'm like, you know, come to think of it, boneless wings are just chicken nuggets. Why do they call them boneless wings? Because we've asked for wings there before, and they brought the boneless, and we did not want the boneless.
Right.
I'm like, why make it that difficult?
Well, now here's
wings are bone in, and chicken nuggets are the boneless.
The same reason that sometimes I drink my drink with my pinky out, because I want to pretend to be fancy. Let me.
I'm going to be honest. I thought there was a real thing. I thought the boneless wings were when they took the bone out for you and just gave you, because you know how people can do that trick where they just slide the bones out and leave you with the boneless wing? That's what I thought they did. The reason I didn't know any better is I've never ordered them before, so I never saw them to see that they weren't that.
It's funny, I've never ordered them either until that one time they brought them by mistake, and they weren't as good as regular wings.
Yeah, and now that you mention it, I think someone's ordered them before, and I was like, this is just a chicken tender with the breading and the sauce.
It's not even a tender, it's a nugget.
Yeah.
And it's delicious.
I was driving by a grocery store, and they had their sign out of what's on sale, and it had boneless bananas. On sale for 59 cents a pound.
They're not lying.
No, that's true. Boneless bananas.
That's a clever idea, actually.
Yeah.
It is not really anything more than a chicken nugget or tender.
It's not the chicken off of a winged little bitty chicken leg. Well, it's just, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they took the chicken parts off the bone of the wings and then made a chicken nugget, that would be technically a boneless chicken.
True. It's white meat, but it's made instead of
all right.
That's
born.
Another discussion Cato and I had. I thought that the chicken wings were dark meat, and I Googled it, and they're not. So dark meat is
wings.
It's made up from whenever they actually use the muscle. So the leg is dark meat because they use it to stand around.
And the thigh.
Are you okay, Tori?
It's making me nauseous. Sorry.
Which part? What I'm talking about?
About the muscle and I'm getting lightheaded.
Yeah.
That's why I can't do boneless or the wings, because it just, if my tooth touches the bone, I will
She couldn't work as a butcher anywhere.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
I really couldn't. I actually used to work at Wild Wing Cafe, and when people would order wings and they'd snatch the bone out, I'd be like, sitting at the table with them.
That didn't last long, did it?
And you know that gristle is just...
Stop.
Watch out.
Stop!
All that is meat chewing gum. It's like gristle is. So we just can't blow a bubble with it.
Without grossing Tori out too much, basically you get dark meat if they use that muscle. You get white meat if they don't. With the chicken, they do the breast meat they don't use, so it's white meat. And I thought the wings, they at least went around and kind of flapped them a little bit, and they would at least be in between, but they're white meat.
Okay,
yeah, they are.
I have another question. Like, because those little bitty wings that you get like 12 in a basket or whatever, they're little bitty legs. Do they let the chicken grow up to a certain age and then kill
those
it?
Those are wings.
That's true. I'm thinking about the little bitty legs.
They look like little drummies.
Yeah, it looks like drummets, little drums.
But that's still white meat. And
how big's a chicken when they kill it?
Those aren't its legs.
It's part of the wing, but I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I worked at Bojangles. but we didn't do
wings. I'm sorry. I was thinking
wings, but the whole wing.
It's terrifying how little we know about what we eat all the time.
I know. It's like, just give it to me. I'll eat it. Yeah. Yeah. Sauce.
I mean, they even call it a wing, and Hawk's thinking it's a leg.
I was getting confused. You've seen the little bit of tiny legs, though, haven't
you? Sure, at KFC, they're not legs, though. They're wings.
No, they're not.
They're called the drumettes.
Yeah.
You got the flats and the drumettes.
They're little bitty ones, though.
They're still considered wings, and I thought that was always part of the wing that they just...
Yeah. That's where I got confused. The restaurants are calling them wings.
They are wings.
No, they're not.
I'm pretty sure they are.
I don't know. You ever had one with a feather still on it?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I don't bother me too much. It's kind of like a hair, though. You're like...
Can you imagine, though, back in the olden days where they had to go out and you didn't have a grocery store and they had to get, well, there's Lucy out there. It's her day, you know, and went out in the chicken pen. And
well, tip is you don't name them if you're going to eat them.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. But then the grannies out there, they pluck chickens and dress the whole thing.
I would never have survived in that. I would have been like, so I'm going to eat this plant. I don't know if it's poisonous or not, but I'm eating it.
I'm learning something new. A drumette looks much like a smaller drumstick and is the meatier section of the wing.
I told you.
It is made up of mostly dark meat.
Oh, wow.
That's why I thought it was
slightly
dark meat.
Slightly juicier than the wingette, and it's part of the actually attaches to the rest of the chicken. I did not know that.
And here's the reason
it's the
why.
It's the bicep.
I like the flats anyway.
The reason why we don't know this stuff is that when you go eat at the wings place, it's not that fancy waiter that tells you exactly what you're going to be eating. It's going to be drenched and blah, blah, blah. It's this part of the chicken. And
it's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Okay, here's the question. Would you marry your best friend? Now, if you've already married and all that, you got to think back to when you were in high school or college, and your best friend, opposite gender, of course. Could you marry your best friend? So,
no.
36% of people said, why not? Why not marry a best friend?
You got to have a certain kind of a feeling towards someone. And your best friend may not have that romantic feeling. You may not feel that way towards them.
Now, I'm sure I've talked to friends and said, hey, if we're the last ones, you know, we're going to move in together and just hang out the rest of our lives. But no marriage.
Okay.
I mean, but why get married? Just
Let people decide for themselves. Now, didn't you have a friend that you're supposed to be married already to them? Because at 35 or whatever, if y'all weren't together, you're going to get together?
I don't know.
Oh, that was me, my friend.
Okay, and
we
one
decided
of you.
I was about to say, I got left behind. Thank you. I got left at the altar. Thanks,
I'm sorry.
No,
so
it wasn't
sorry.
Me. Not that I recall.
All right, Tori. So I've helped jog my memory. I knew it was one of you guys.
Yeah, just when we were younger, my friend Jim and I, we were like, you know. I said, I don't see either one of us like really nailing the married thing. Why don't we just get married at some point?
Okay.
And he was like, sure. And then now we're both married to other people.
Okay.
I think I had that deal with a girl in high school. And I think we both made it past the time we were supposed to get married, but we didn't follow through.
Yeah.
And it was more of a joke than a serious thing because you didn't really expect that to happen.
What if that happened? Your childhood friend comes up when you're 35 going, you're committed.
Yeah. They find you on Facebook. Hey, you remember?
Yeah.
The day you turn 35, they show up at your door with a ring.
Yeah.
Remember we talked?
And you're like, is that in writing anywhere? Because I don't think I remember the details.
Yeah.
That's the safe thing. Unless you sign paperwork, I think you're good.
There's video today.
It's nowadays there
yeah,
is.
Nowadays.
So would you marry your best friend? 36% of the people said, why not? 11% were unsure about marrying their best friend. And then only 13% said never. I would never marry my best friend.
I didn't really have best friends that were girls anyway.
Yeah, you always say that.
I mean, I had some friends that were girls, and it was more a matter of, like, were we in the same classes a lot? But I didn't just hang out with a girl as just being a best friend.
Now, I do have a pact with my girlfriends. If we all make it past our husbands, we're all just going to move into like a commune together as old ladies.
That's what I mean.
I'm real, like, I don't, obviously, I love John. I want him around forever. But that's a little silver lining.
So you'll be the golden girls?
Pretty much. Can I be Rose? She was nice. She didn't always get it, though, and I feel like I'm there with her.
Was that Betty White?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I saw it was an old TV show, but basically these retired actors from Hollywood, they bought like a motel.
Yeah.
You know, the kind you drive up to and at the pool. And they just remodeled it, and they all live there. It's their little compound.
Is this for real?
No, it was a little TV show. Yeah. But I told my friends we should do that. Just buy a little motel somewhere.
I think it's brilliant. You think about it today, and then we don't have a reality show like that. You see all these teenagers that are living in this multi-million-dollar house. My kids watch it all the time. It's like five or six guys living in this mansion somewhere in California. But to have old people do that and stream that for us, that would be interesting.
Really?
Yeah. They'd be sitting there crocheting, you know, and, hey, let's play some bingo, or y'all want to play some board games?
Your idea of interesting is very different than mine.
And I feel like a lot of senior citizens these days are rowdy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know that it would be like Jersey Shore, but senior citizens.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, you need to go down to the, what is it called in Florida? The Village?
The Villages.
And do like a Real Housewives, but make it the Villages. That would probably rock the world.
I'm serious. I've got friends that work in the assisted living areas, and you wouldn't believe the wild
roundiness,
the wild people that are in there sneaking around.
Why isn't someone doing this? It seems like a guaranteed win.
And why do they stop them from sneaking around? Like, who cares at that point?
Just I know, right?
Have fun.
Well, I'm like, who's in charge? When you got some old person with a walker sneaking around, like, how can they do that?
How come you could stop them? Unless they have dementia or something, they should be able to do whatever they want.
Exactly.
And why? Exactly. Why would you stop them? He has a little walker. He looks over and winks at you. And you're like, have fun, Bert. Have a good time.
I just saw where some senior housing place, they had to go to court to be able to serve alcohol to them. And they're like, we're old. Why can't we have a drink?
Yeah,
I mean, I would not want to be put in one of those homes.
As much as they pay to live in those facilities, let them do what they want.
Do they have those kind of nights? Because you always hear they have bingo nights. They have like clubbing night where they go back and have a big disco ball and play the music from when they were teenagers.
Now, that's what I was going to ask. What kind of music is it? Yeah. Are we dropping it low or is it like a...
Yeah, Granny's in there talking, you know.
Honestly, we could all get very rich if we made this into a program.
She done twerked out her hip replacement. Yeah. Her
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Tori and I were just having a conversation, and we came up with a very interesting observation on how the world has changed. And it's not one of the things you typically think about or hear about. I was looking at today's crossword puzzle. I do them out of sheer boredom.
At work.
At work. And so when I get done, some days I think the puzzle was very clever, very good. I enjoy doing it. Other days, it's full of foreign words and horrible clues that don't really make much sense, and I get very annoyed. So my first thought is that I would like to go somewhere and rate it between 1 and 5 stars. I would like to let the creator of the puzzle know whether their puzzle was good or not. Okay. There is nowhere to do that for the crossword puzzle.
Ah.
But we got to talking about it, and in our world, most things, you can rate them now.
Yeah, true.
When you go to a restaurant, when you get done, there are multiple apps that will let you trash them if you did not like the experience, or rave about them if you did.
Yeah.
When you buy products on Amazon, you can go and trash the product, or you can rave about it, or anything in between.
Yeah.
Pretty much most of what we do now, we have the opportunity to score or rate whatever happened and tell people what we thought about it. And if you don't have that opportunity, it kind of makes you mad.
Yeah.
It doesn't me, because I don't like leave. You know, you get those emails from everywhere going, hey, we want your feedback. I don't do that. I think I could recall leaving one review ever, and that's on an Airbnb, because they reviewed me, but I couldn't see what they said about me until I wrote my own review. So it's the only time I've ever written a review.
And I don't like the way they do that. Because then if I'm like, oh, this place was great, I really enjoyed it, and they're like, worst guest ever, yeah. I'm like, well, hang on, I got some things to add.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't like doing the homework of rating things. But have you seen online where the guy goes, and it's a video, it's real. It is a real, and it is real. But he...
A real, real?
He votes and gives, like, bathrooms across America... Certain, it's not stars he gives them. He gives them like the Dookie Awards or something. Oh. It's like three doo-doos or three poops. And it's got the little emoji. But he'll go, here we are at the, you know, so-and-so place in Boise, Idaho. And he goes in there, shows you videos, the lock on the door, the seats, how they look, and all that. Have you seen it?
No, but I would love to see this.
Because, oh, it's funny.
Because I rate bathrooms. I will judge a place on its bathroom.
But you don't actually do it anywhere that anyone sees.
No, just with me. And if you've got a nice bathroom, like when we take trips like to the beach or to Tennessee or wherever, we have our spots that we will stop at in between because we know they're the nicest restaurants.
You watch this guy, and he's so popular. It's like he rips a new one every once in a while.
Rips.
Yeah. But it's super funny. And you know when you go to this area, let's say you go to the Smokies or Pigeon Forge or something, he's already been there and showed you which one to go to.
I can save you the trouble.
What?
Just go to Bucky's.
Yeah, that's true.
I hope they have little plaques on if they get rated good. Yeah. They're like, five.
Well,
Poughkeepsies.
He doesn't even, I don't think the establishment knows. He just goes to show you what it looks like.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, getting back to the actual ability to rate anything that we all have, I know people on Amazon that have lost their privilege to write reviews, and they literally won't shop there anymore. Because if they feel like if they get ripped off, they can no longer tell anyone about it. Like they buy something from one of those third party on Amazon and they get scammed. Now they don't have any way to really tell anyone that this person's a scammer. So think about eBay. eBay wouldn't even work without reviews because you wouldn't know who to trust and who not to trust.
Yeah.
Our world has changed to where we expect to be able to score everything that we do. And that has got to change our mindset now.
Yeah, but if you're scoring like the way you live or who that person is, and it's all your friends around you, it's like you go into work and all of a sudden you have an 86% rating.
Yeah. There was that Black Mirror episode kind of like that.
It was.
That's what they did. They would have interactions with each other, and then it was like a rating, like a social rating.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And they're actually doing that in places like China. In China, they have places where you are constantly being scored on how you behave and what you do, and the lower your social score is, there's things you can start to not be able to do, like you can't get a hotel room or you can't rent a car or things because you have a poor social rating.
We should have like 5 stars on our head at the beginning of the day, and people could just rip off a star if they had a bad experience with you, and by the end of the day...
Everybody just walk around with little gold stars, and you're like, hey, you did really good today.
Yeah.
I wake up with about 1 star, though. It takes me a minute to get up to 5 stars.
Well, no, I would go ahead and give you 5 at the beginning. That's the way this one works.
Oh, okay. It starts off so positive. And by the end of the day, you only have 1 star, and you're like, whew, rough day.
End of the show, I have 1 star.
Well, I think it is very interesting that our society, I think it's changed the way our minds even work. I think at this point now, we start to think of everything we do in terms of a score. If we go to an escape room, we leave there and we think to ourselves, that was only a 3-star. Oh, that was a 5-star. We go eat a meal. We go out of there giving it a score. It's a part of our mental mindset now.
No, we are just a judgmental society and judgmental people about everything.
You should be. That's how it works. No, that's how you know whether a restaurant's horrible or not. That's how you know if a bathroom's dirty or not.
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of wish that we would do the social rating thing because I think it knocks some people, give them some sense.
Yep.
Now, I do have questions about my stickers, about my gold star stickers. I have very oily skin. Are you going to figure out a way that my... Because what if my star just falls off and I wasn't actually bad that day?
No, you're good. I got it.
Okay. Yeah. So good adhesion?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just got a low score.
Buy them off Amazon. Hopefully they will work.
Okay. Thank you. I was worried about that.
Yeah.
Bless her.
Yeah, well, let's rate this conversation.
Oh,
right
I'm
now.
Gonna go ahead and give it one star.
Tom has been frustrated with us the whole time. Yeah. If you guys have only seen the pain on his face of like, I can't wait to get over this conversation.
That is like all of our conversations. Poor Tom. Yeah. He brings up something serious and we're like, so let's give each other gold stars.
Let's do it. So, okay. I give it at least 4 stars.
What?
This conversation.
Me? Oh, 1.5. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Did I just lose a star?
Yeah. Okay, Kato.
I don't leave reviews.
Okay. Tom, one I won't star. Even ask.
I already told you 1 star.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.